Welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. Up next is the audiobook by Dr. Billy Brim, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter Shelley Brim. This classic teaching will guide you to discover the truth about the blood of Jesus and the glory of God. Stay tuned to the end of our broadcast to find out more on Billy Brim Ministries' next authority conference hosted near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. This is a free special Tulsa, Oklahoma event. For more information, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.
Chapter 6, Circle of Glory. The meaning span of time between the Bible's first and second verses, earth lay beneath dismal waters in stark contrast to the glorious perfection of the rest of creation. What did the angels think about the one dark spot in God's otherwise perfect order of things? Did they just ignore it? Did they talk about it? I mentioned the angels because the Holy Spirit brought them to my attention as He taught me about the glory. He showed me they were watching when things began to change. Genesis 1, verse 2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Did the angels spread the news? Did they say, "Something's going on there. The Holy Spirit is moving upon the dark spot"? They heard God's first words and watched their glorious fulfillment. Genesis 1:3, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God was not commanding the sun and the moon to become. They didn't come forth until the fourth day. God was talking about the light of Himself. In essence, this included, God is returning light and life to earth. He removed His presence, but now He will work there again. In God's work week, He established a new order of things. He separated the waters. He called forth the seed that was in the earth. He did not create new plant life in verses 11 and 12. He set the sun, the moon, the stars. He created new animal life, verses 20 and 21. His work progressed in divisions. He called the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, and then the sixth day. The most angel-astonishing day of all. I heard His voice within my spirit when He spoke to me about the sixth day. I did not do this in a corner. All were watching when I stepped to center stage and made a declaration which rocked all creation as it reverberated from the regions of glory to the regions of the damned. The words of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 took on a new tone. My heart could hear it in loud, deliberate words as they may have been called out across the wide expanses of creation. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. What is a man? What is a man? What is a man? Angelic questions may have resounded in response to the startling news. For one angel even dared to ask the Creator, we are told. Psalm 8 records his questions. We know these are the words of an angel The New Testament tells us so in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. A few commentators say that this was Satan. I don't think so. I believe he may have been more of a Peter-type angel, daring to ask what others were wondering. Or perhaps the angel was led to articulate the questions for our enlightenment. In whatever way it occurred, God chose to record the angelic inquiry in His holy word. Psalm 8, verses 3 through 6. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man, that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, Elohim, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Let us examine this in modern vernacular. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. This angel just had watched the wonders of the work of God in creation. So he began by complimenting the Creator. Then he asked the big question, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is a man? What is this being, O Creator, that he has a place in your mind? And the son of man, that thou visitest him. Angels may have had to call on God. Here is one whom God visits in the garden. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, Elohim. The Hebrew word is not angels. It is Elohim. Elohim is the plural word for God. It shows God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For eternity past, the angels have known this order, the triune Godhead, archangels, and angels. Now there is a new order in creation. Man is ranked just under the Godhead. The angels didn't even know the position was open. Thou hast crowned him. Wonders of wonders to the amazed angel. God crowned man. He didn't ask Gabriel or Michael to do it. Amid majesty and pageantry far surpassing any crowning of any earthly monarch, God himself arose and crowned his man. Who wears crowns? Kings. By this crowning, God fixed forever the place of man in God's heart and in God's plans. What was the crown made of? Of diamonds? Of gold? No. God paved streets with gold. The crown was made of the most valuable substance in all creation. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. The crown was made of glory, God's glory. Glory, which may seem abstract to some, is highest heavenly reality. For the glory of God is God's presence manifested. The glory of God is God himself. God's glory sat upon man as his crown and clothed him as his covering. It fitted man for the fellowship he enjoyed with his Creator. The fall of man. God's word had gone forth. Man would have dominion over the works of God's hands. Satan challenged it. If he could stop God's word from coming to pass, he could defeat God. His tactics were simple. He tempted the will of man. Man yielded and turned his will, crosswise to the will of God. Some of, if not the saddest words in the Bible are Genesis chapter 3 verses 8 through 10. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Early one Sunday morning, I was meditating on these things in preparation for the class. I'd put on a roast for dinner, and I was fixing my hair in front of the wide mirror in our only bathroom before waking the family. From behind me, high and to the right, I heard a voice. It probably was not audible, but to me it seemed almost audible. When the question came, I knew it was the Lord. Do you know Romans 3:23? My first thought was, thank God it's one I know. I grew up in Baptist churches. Baptists lead people to the Lord down the Roman road. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 is the first step. So I whirled toward the voice and quoted rather glibly at first, For all have sinned and come short of... I gasped as I saw it. The last four words fell feebly from my lips, trailing almost to a whisper, The glory of God. The voice spoke the revelation I'd glimpsed. That's what happened in the fall. I crowned man with glory. Man sinned and fell short of the glory. I felt I would faint with the revelation of the fall from such glorious heights to such heinous depths. Then the voice literally revived me with words based on Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. But the captain of your salvation is bringing many sons to glory. I saw it for the first time. The circle of glory. Man was crowned with glory. He fell from the glory. Through Jesus Christ, he can return to the glory. Then in a flash of revelation across my spirit, I saw the predicament of the fall. To the right, high and lifted up, was the place of the throne of God. To the left, low and very low, stood Satan with man cringing at his side. Between the two places there was a great gulf fixed. I heard these words.
Thank you for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. What you just heard was from Dr. Billy Brim's audiobook, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter, Shelley Brim. Live near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. Join Dr. Billy Brim for our Authority Conference at our home church in a glorious church fellowship. Save the dates and make your plans now to join the upcoming Authority Conference near Tulsa, April 27th through the 29th. Joining Dr. Billy Brim in these powerful meetings will be Chip and Shelley Brim. For more information about the Tulsa Area Authority Conference, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.